a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Anybody have anything to say about it? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So much for that. We need a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Any comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, passed. All right, now we have one person for public input. Eric?
Stevens.
Stevens. Would you like to address? You've got 5 minutes.
Come sit in the middle. You're in the hot seat there.
And please turn on, turn on.
That's it. We've got that wired, so be nice.
Thank you. My name's Eric Stevens. My address is 3008 Cherry Hills Drive, Champaign, Illinois. And I'm here to seek approval for my zoning, my two cases. And I'm available to answer your questions.
Does anybody have any questions?
No questions in public participation, Ralph.
Do you have anything to say if you don't get questions?
Yeah, what, why are you here, sir?
I'm here to seek approval of the two cases that I have before the board.
Okay.
One is a special use case and the other one is a zoning change for my property located at 1069 County Road, 900 East Champaign, Illinois, South Duncan Road, out by the airport.
Okay, does anybody, no, we don't talk to you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, would you please ask him if he can remain here until we get to that item on the agenda in these weeks? Do have some questions and we could suspend the rules and ask them at that time.
Did you hear that, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, you'll stick around then until your item comes up on the agenda, please.
Yes, be glad to.
Okay. All right. Does anybody have any communications? Any further comments? Thank you very much. All right, no communications. Item 7, we have two items for information only. RPC phone survey of fire chiefs in unincorporated Champaign County and an update on the establishment of cooperative weed management area for East Central Illinois. Susan?
Hi, I want to just talk a brief bit about the survey. It was a 7-question survey containing some open-ended questions. We received responses from 10 fire chiefs and probably will receive some additional responses as time goes on. Most of it was with regard to their preferences for being contacted about information about building activity in their districts. And pretty much all were interested in receiving additional information. And as you see here from the summary provided, John Hall has agreed to accommodate that request. In addition to his regular notifications about zoning cases, he will provide quarterly reports about building activity within their districts. So other than that, we have updated contact information. You have question by question breakouts. You might find the response to question 5A interesting because, you know, there is a shortage of time in the rural areas, a shortage of staff, volunteers, and time. So most fire chiefs reported from the rural areas that they had limited capacity for training, additional training for life safety code compliance kind of training specific. No other comments about the survey. It was interesting, and I think the fire chiefs appreciated being notified and being asked for their input. Thank you.
Yes.
Motion to place on file.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Patsy has questions.
No, that's right. Do that first.
Second.
Okay. Any comments?
Susan, thank you for this work. I have a couple of information questions. As and our state statutes related to rural fire departments. Is there a certain level that has to be taken, be maintained in each of those fire departments related to the safety aspect? And I bring that up because you pointed out or brought, you know, to attention of everybody the response to question five.
No specific legislation that I'm aware of other with regard to that question. There are the ISO ratings mm-hmm. that each fire district has, and those are variable, and each fire chief is aware of its rating, and each cycle they try to improve that rating for insurance purposes. So if there's something specific I can respond to, all we have about the question five topic, life safety code enforcement, is that they are responsible to do that based on the state fire marshal kind of information that we get from that office.
So a follow up on this part of my inquiry, is there anything when they are short staffed and maybe can't do the adequate training or educating, was there any request for help from the county?
Now, there are mutual aid agreements in place all over,
okay.
And I'm sure there's some assistance capacity there.
All right.
I can check on that to be sure.
Okay,
I
just wanted to make certain that they made a comment and we were not
sure.
Doing any follow-up mm-hmm. to see if there was anything we need to be doing.
From the comments received just a general sense of frustration about the lack of volunteers and time available.
I appreciated your pointing it out to us. My second question has to do with a nice arrangement that seems to have developed out of this questionnaire that Mr. Hall will be having communications with the rural fire departments just as a courtesy to let them know about any development. Is there anything in this communication back and forth that if they express some concerns, there is anything that we need to set in place so that things can be handled related to those?
Not via this mechanism. However, there is a Fire Chiefs Association, and we could simply send a piece of correspondence to that association that if they have any questions about planning or zoning activities here in the county, that they should feel free to call.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. Susan, thanks for this survey. And I want to thank the respondents, fire chiefs who responded. There's some really glaring things in here. Patsy brought up some of them. You discussed them too, and that was one of them is, you know, volunteers. I know there's probably never enough volunteers out there, but you know, the rural populations are aging and there's not enough young people standing around, and this isn't anything different than anywhere else in the Midwest. The rural populations are just dwindling. So that to me, that's significant. And of course, nothing really that you know, this committee or probably the county board can do, unfortunately, but living in a rural area, it's kind of frightening. On question number two, I think you might have touched on this earlier about if there's any response or how you would like the response from any new building in the districts or anything. I think it would be great if Planning and Zoning Department could do that, but I'm afraid of additional costs and commitments of staff and staff time and everything, unfortunately. And I know the follow-up was, would the website be useful? And unfortunately, not enough respondents said no, it wouldn't. And I think our website, especially the county as a whole, does a great job. Very transparent, and our administration needs to be commended in that. On question 5B, when it talks about road closures, does the highway department, the county highway department,
do they know of all the road closures out in the townships, aside from the county highways? Do the township road commissioners notify the highway commission, the highway engineer?
I can't say for sure, but I would guess that there's a good level of communication that does go on. I happen to know that this particular response came from the Wilbur Heights Road area, where there's all kinds of jurisdictional cross districts. I don't have an answer to the question.
Because I noticed, like you mentioned, there's one response, like you said, from Wilbur Heights. Didn't know the road was closed and trying to get to it. In some areas, that could be a real pinch to where it could be a matter of life and death almost in those instances.
I could offer to follow up with the EMA office or what is the entity that regulates all of these emergency response, METCAD, to see if they have a communication means to share with fire chiefs.
Okay. Thanks, Susan. All appreciate right. it. Ralph, that's
okay.
it.
Any further comments? Okay. Item six, do we have any communications?
No, so hold on, putting it on file.
What?
Hold on, putting it on file.
We have a motion. Okay. Okay. Let's have a motion to put this stuff on file.
We need to
vote.
We have a motion. It's ready for
vote. We get it? Is that it? Somebody
just got to vote. Just got to vote.
Okay, all in favor of putting it on file, accepting and putting on file, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now. Item 8.
Update, no.
Boy.
No.
Oh, B.
Yeah.
I thought we did them both.
No.
Susan?
Yeah, this other information item is about a new movement here locally, in the region actually, to create and establish a cooperative weed management area. Now, you may recall back in 2007 there was a similar effort to do this type of thing along the Sangamon, but it didn't succeed. This effort now in 2014 seems to have a lot of momentum, and I've been to two of their meetings just to be able to report to you where they are, and today they met and they're thinking about geographic boundaries, and there seems to be a very lot of interest in forming this cooperative weed management area, which would be a non-regulatory kind of method to address this invasive species problem that we heard about and that we are aware of. So there are the kinds of things that a cooperative weed management area can help with include just having a good network available. Let's see, I have education and outreach. As you see before you, one of the initial things that the group that is forming and wishing to form into a weed management area made this booklet that you have distributed to you this evening. So that's very informative. These people that are forming the cooperative weed management area, many of them are associated or affiliated with the Master Naturalist Program, and the UI Extension Office is going to take the lead to be a fiscal manager potentially for this group as they seek grant funding from many entities. There are two successful examples here in the state of Illinois of this type of cooperative weed management areas, one in the northern 18 counties of the state and one in the southern 11 counties. So those are two very good examples that are providing information to this fledgling group. The county can support the efforts of this group in many ways. I've heard from the Champaign County Court Services and Probation people that they are interested in providing community service workers, similar to their program of picking up litter along the right-of-ways. If it's a simple task of manually weeding and not necessarily applying herbicides, there could be groups of community service workers that are engaged in these kinds of response teams to go out and try to eradicate some of these invasive species around the county. So that's just one example of one way the county might offer support to this program.
Any? Oh, okay. Thanks.
Susan, I read this with interest, and I don't have a problem with it. I think it might fit well into our general geographic area. As the lone representative of this county for the Lincoln Heritage RC&D, I'm curious if there's something that maybe the RC&D could help contribute from a standpoint, because they do a lot of forest prairie land burns and things like that. If there's some technical service or something else they could provide.
I'd be happy to suggest that they be notified as a potential partner. I know the Southern CWMA, I forgot what it's called, mm-hmm. their fiscal agent is the Shawnee RC&D. So I think they're slightly more active, southern part of the state. But I'd be happy to notify that Lincoln Heritage RC&D to let them know about this effort.
If you would, I'd appreciate that. And I'll give you I will email you.
I have the contact.
You do? Okay, Ray Herman.
Yep.
Is the president
yes,
of the organization.
Ray.
Great. Thank you very much.
Good idea, I think.
Okay, Patsy.
Great work, Susan. Thank you very much for sharing this with us. You provided some of our wonderful state statutes related to this issue, and something that we haven't tended to do much as a county board is take advantage of our state representatives and the state Association for County Boards. And I wondered if there is any benefit for those out in the rural area in trying to contain this problem, if there were changes within the state statutes to help with it, and if you felt that was the case, then would those two avenues be good ways to begin making some headway and building some steam for introducing either new legislation or amendments to what presently exists?
Well, it couldn't hurt. As you will hear probably in our discussion later on, this type of cooperative weed management area solution will take about a year to establish, and it doesn't offer any kind of immediate benefit to a landowner such as Mr. Neff, other than that the members of the Cooperative Weed Management Area Invasive Plant Task Force have already provided me, and I'll share with Mr. Neff, how to eradicate thistle in case he needs any additional suggestions for a particular herbicide to use. I think you were at the meeting earlier today, and he received advice directly. And so they're good in that capacity. They can offer their expert advice, and these are forest preserve people and Allerton Park persons who, this is their life. They spend their life trying to battle invasive species. I'm maybe exaggerating, but they are experts. Mm-hmm. So I think your ideas are interesting. Certainly, this is a statewide and national concern.
Yes, now that you tell us
yes.
The two groups already formed.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Example of Canadian thistle, about the only way to control it is chemically. Who takes the responsibility of that? I mean, is the cooperative, being a farmer and you get near a town and the fertilizer people spray something, next thing, oh, you owe me a tree. Well,
right,
who's going to take liability for this?
Today, there was at the meeting today of this group, there was that particular discussion. None of the applications of herbicides are aerial. They're all very targeted and specific.
Okay. Any further comments?
My last asking is, as this progresses and the group gets itself in a more cohesive form, it would be great just to have a brief update when it's appropriate.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Susan.
Thank you. Okay, could we have a motion to accept this and place it on file?
Second.
Any comments? Hearing none. Passed unanimously. with the permission of the committee.
I heard.
Me.
Me.
What? With the permission of the committee, we had another person come in, and he wants to talk, And let's, shall we give him 5 minutes?
Sure.
Okay, would you like to step up, Mr.?
Happy to. He didn't bring his weed with him.
No, the guy told me the other day, get it out of here.
I got didn't want any weeds growing in my office or anything, right?
Well, then John says it was bothering him too, so
Oh, really?
I took it outside.
Okay, every citizen's entitled to his 5 minutes of glory, so go ahead.
Okay, I went to the meeting today. I was pleased at the concern that people had there. In other words, these weeds cannot be eradicated in a permanent basis unless it's chemically sprayed. But this is something that's got to be done by hand. As far as any vital problems, it's not there. I mean, people have moved out there from the city, and they want to have wildlife nature. Well, this is creating a problem for me. In other words, I got to spend money on chemicals to get rid of them on me just because theirs is not under control. Now, it hurts my crop income because I can't raise a legume hay anymore on it because of the thistles. People won't buy hay with thistles in it. So I have to resort to a grass. So I resort to grass so I can spray the chemicals to kill it. And there's a lot of things that weeds in this country that are in this area, they get tolerant to Roundup. So you Roundup is, when you spray it, everything's dead. Now, another respect is, if I've got them getting very, very bad in my yard. Now, if people that moved out there lived in town and that was in their yard, they'd have a fit. And I think that, you know, it needs, I mean, you guys are doing all you can with the problem. I mean, we got to go through steps and hoops to do it. But I want to pursue this to the point that we do get something. If there's a possibility to get it addressed, I'd like to do that. I mean, I'm spending my time to do this. I'm not complaining, but I guess this is a procedure I got to go through. One other thing that I brought to Mr. Hall's attention is across the road from me, there's a subdivision that's been built. My wife is a school bus driver, and the cul-de-sac in there has got mailboxes right at the curb like the law requires, but she can't turn a bus around in there. And then when there's vehicles parked in there, I mean, there's little kids. What if you back over one of them? I mean, backing in and out when you get multiple families with children trying to get on a bus, I hope it don't come to resolve that somebody gets hurt or killed over this before it's addressed. I know John says it's right by the engineering laws, the way it's put in. And then I was told by Mr. Hall that we ought to contact the transportation director of the school district. I contacted her, and she said, well, and John had also suggested maybe the road commissioner needs to put up no parking signs in there, and he needs to be aware of the problem. So I contacted the transportation director. She told me she called the road commissioner 3 times and he never answered it. Then she went back when I told her I was coming to this meeting tonight. She went in and seen the superintendent of the schools. They said, well, we don't want to get involved with it. In other words, this problem, that's what she told me today. So I'm just wanting that considered, and that there was a semi tractor and trailer parked in that fire area. And they, in other words, it hampers them getting in there with a fire truck. We've got a pond there with a dry hydrant on it for, well, you know, fire protection. All right, that trailer only may be there for 3 or 4 days, but what if they needed that and that tractor and trailer's in there? I've seen motorhomes and trailers of car haulers or people, residents in that area park stuff in that fire lane. I've seen motorhomes and stuff parking it. I'd like to see no parking signs put up in those areas and same way around the cul-de-sac for the protection of the kids and for our fire protection. That's all I got to say.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, we'll move back to the regular schedule. Item 8, case 776-AM-13, recommendation to approve to the county board for Eric Stevens, a doing business as Prairie View Landscape. Request, amend the Champaign County zoning map to change the zoning district designation from Ag 1 Agriculture to B1 Rural Trades Center zoning district in order to authorize the proposed self-storage warehouse in relation to zoning case 7675-13.
So moved. Second.
Okay, any comments? You want to say anything about it? Oh.
I have some questions if the gentleman could
come up now that we can ask some questions. Thank you so much for staying a few extra minutes. I appreciate
sure.
that. Could you help me better understand, this is a landscaping firm, but you're also wanting warehouses out there. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's correct.
And the purpose of the warehouses is for?
The purpose for the warehouses is several. My initial reason for wanting to add the warehouses to the property is really related to the extreme downturn in the landscaping industry. My business is currently about half the size it was prior to the economy crash of 2008. And I feel that it will help meet a need as well. The self-storage need and call for it is a growing need.
Okay. Has there, it went to the Zoning Board of Appeals, I understand that, and I've read the materials, but in fairness, I had problems the last time we had a request about putting self-storage out in the rural area, and my questions then are still the same as I'll be asking you this evening to be consistent, and that is, have you looked at the need factor for these out in your particular part of our rural area, and how many others are in that area?
I have looked at that, and up until just recently, there were none on the southwest side of Champaign. There is currently one small one that's been built that's new, so yeah, there's no other ones on this side of town other than the one that was just built here just recently.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you have anything to say about this, Tom? Any other comments? Can we have a motion to approve?
We already have.
You just need to vote.
Just need to vote, Ralph.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Go forth and be fruitful.
Thank you.
Item nine, monthly reports. Now you have something to say.
Move to receive and place on file the monthly report as presented.
Second.
Okay. Any comments? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Other business. 10A. Regulation of livestock in urban areas. This is for discussion only. Anyone have any comments? Can we have a motion to place this on file?
I have a couple of questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Is this a preview of coming attractions? This is why you have it.
Well, I have nothing on regulation of livestock because I haven't researched it. Other than, you know, the state of Illinois doesn't let counties regulate
right.
agriculture, although the only way that I'm aware you can do that is if you establish a minimum lot size for agriculture. At the county board meeting last month, the woman commenting about her problems with urban livestock, her lot is probably no more than maybe 20% of an acre, and I think, you know, maybe the county could do something about that. I can't imagine it could be anything more than some kind of limit on the numbers, and in fact she was complaining about the numbers of chickens on this lot next to her.
I thought it was more that they came into her lot.
Well, it was both. So again, we haven't spent any time researching this, but
so,
I did have a request.
Let me ask you a question, John. If those chickens came on her property, could she kill them legally and eat them?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
That's what I told her to do.
What's that?
That's
what I told her to do. I told her to bring an egg and fry a chicken.
She could have.
Hey, if she kills enough, she can invite all of us. So
she could have kept them out just raising the fence with an.
It might be that we could also establish requirements for containment so that instead of calling the sheriff out to deal with chickens, you know, we could deal with it in our office. It's not that I want to get into that, but I think her comments were pretty compelling.
What kind of a problem is this in the county?
It was on.
It was on, John.
It wasn't. Okay. Thanks, John. We had a problem. How many chickens do we have out in the county? I mean, are we in that kind of a problem other than this one incident?
I don't think
pretty well corralled and whoever owns them?
Well, roosters are not silenced. I know that. We do get complaints about those quite often.
Roosters.
And not out in the far rural area, but in areas like Scottswood. And northeastern Urbana, those are common complaints, actually.
Well, we don't have any. We've got chickens next to us, and we don't have any roosters. I understand that Urbana and Champaign have banned the.
Yeah, but no roosters, only chickens, right? And I think there's a minimum of chickens in Champaign, like 4 or 5 chickens or something that they're allowing.
My
six
cat
chickens.
Greatly enjoys them.
Yeah. Thanks. Guess I don't want this discussion going any further down the hole, but anyway, I can't see us regulating chickens out here in the county, but then again, you can't help be compelled with what, you know, our citizens said about a problem. And it can be a problem. It really can be. So I think what's really spurred this thing on here recently is Champaign's now allowing 6 birds, only pullets, no roosters. So, and then you've got the advent of, you've got a rural king each spring and a farm of fleet each spring that have, if you've ever been out there, have pens and containers full of chicks. They're easy to get. And with the local food craze idea, people have the inkling that eggs, one, are a great source of protein, and two, can also be eaten whole. With properly cooked,
you're
of course.
About chicken or the egg?
Eggs and chickens. You can get eggs and chickens.
Which came first,
right? We could debate that all night long if you want. But anyway, we all have ideas.
But why did he cross the road?
But I think with the advent of that, I'm really wondering if we shouldn't have some type of containment in the county. At least if we could somewhere. Maybe within the mile and a half, so I don't know how we can legislate that or write that, John, but maybe within a mile and a half to be more, to flow better with the ordinance of city of Champaign, Urbana. I can tell you as a egg producer, and my son, it's basically his hobby, we have chickens. We have them contained, one, because I don't want the dog to use them as toys, because he would, and two, because out in my area, hawks are very prevalent.
Oh, yeah.
And they're pretty much destroying the pheasant population out there. In fact, I saw one take out a pheasant not less than a week ago. So it's not only for protection of the animals themselves, because you'll end up getting those kind of predators in here, too. You're going to end up getting foxes. In fact, I saw a dead fox somewhere here. Was it in town? Along somewhere?
Yes.
So it got struck. I think maybe it was on Windsor. Yeah. So you're going to start bringing in. They're going to start noticing the food supply here, mm-hmm. Things like that.
She's lost all her chickens.
Yeah, and coyotes
that's
and things like
food.
That.
That's passive.
Yeah. And things like that. So I'm not so sure if maybe John, we shouldn't look at something of containment.
At a staff level, we can do that, and if the committee would want us to. And we can report back on what seems feasible.
Are you still with us?
I'm here, definitely.
Okay, well.
Okay, I have a couple of information questions. I have a number of friends in Champaign now with the new ordinance or recently passed ordinance who do have chickens. In fact, one lives on Busy Mattis and has six. So, and I don't know that that person has extended the fence in the backyard or anything like that. So why is it we are not having chickens flying all around Champaign, but they're happening with this individual from the next door neighbor? I need chicken education here.
Well, I'm not up to date, but I would assume in Champaign Urbana, you literally have to keep them contained, like in a cage that has a top to it. Now, in the case that we're discussing that was brought before us, they may be, I don't know, they're maybe pinned up in a coop or a building at night. I don't know if they go in there, because chickens will, by habit, tend to go back to the same place to roost. But obviously during the day, they're just out and about and able to go wherever they want to. And people often think chickens can't fly. Well, they don't fly well, but they do fly. When we used to have chickens, we have a old shed at my house where I grew up and now live, but had chickens. I'm not exactly sure how high up the wood rafters, for lack of a better term, are, but they're over 10 feet. And if there was something intermediate, the chickens would generally tend to go from the ground to the intermediate to the rafter. But they can sit there and judge it, and they'll go from that to that rafter in one shot. So they don't just stay on the ground and not get up. They can fly. They do not fly well. Like when we had, I'll get off this, but when we had ducks at the same time, there were sometimes the ducks would fly over the house. The chickens don't do that, but the chickens do fly from the ground up to go to roost. And like I say, they can go from this level to that level to that level relatively easy. So
what we're saying, Aaron, is a fence won't help, because they could jump over the fence.
Well, if it was high enough and there was nothing else around that they could jump over, but the thing is, you'd have to have it all around the property, or else they just run around the fence. I mean, because they're going to go where they want to go.
I have a 6-foot chain link fence, and none of them escaped yet. In fact, my wife doesn't like it because she said it looks like a chicken penitentiary out there. But we've yet to lose a chicken. And only one time, when I went to put in my son's first batch of 10 pullets in to the chicken shed, I counted 9 and I panicked. It was dark out, and I went out, and there's one perched up in the corner of the fence, just perched up there. She was going to roost there for the night. So I quickly, easily, gently picked her and pulled her off her. But a 6-foot fence will keep them in.
So does this have to be added to the sheriff's master plan if this is a penitentiary?
Don't talk.
I'm sorry. That's...
Okay.
So I have another information question. Kathy Capel was talking about sometimes you can clip the...
You can clip.
Okay, so I'm learning here,
you keep,
right?
You have to keep doing it every so often.
Oh,
clip their wings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, any more?
Well, does John have sufficient direction?
Right. Okay. Can we have a motion to accept this and put it on file?
So moved.
Second.
Any further comment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Fine. Okay, John, I think we're ready for the monthly reports.
Oh, we got no control.
Isn't that we discussed that up earlier?
What are we ready for? Oh.
Difference.
Noxious weeds?
Yes.
Where are we on this agenda?
10B.
Noxious
weeds.
Noxious weeds. Okay. Item 10B. Okay, John, you got anything to say about noxious weeds?
Only that not all, in fact, I think there's only one weed that's on the noxious weed list that is in the invasive plant list. So they're actually quite different approaches. But Susan made a good point earlier. This weed management group can provide good information for controlling any of these species. As the zoning administrator, my main concern, if the county wanted to control noxious weeds, is that, you know, there's no minimum threshold for the number of noxious weeds that should be controlled under the noxious weed law. And every property out in the rural area has some amount of noxious weeds on it. So this is a huge undertaking if you decide to take it on at any greater level than we're already doing.
Cost.
Yeah.
Are we going to be concerned with noxious weeds inside the Twin Cities?
I think the noxious weed law lets you do that if you want to. I think historically the county has left that pretty much up to the municipal authorities.
John, I'm almost inclined to probably stay away from a noxious weed officer and probably just go status quo, have the zoning. If we need to make it some, put an ordinance, or that would be fine with me, that the zoning administrator be the quasi noxious weed official, not officer, but official. And you've been kind of in that capacity anyway. You've sent one or two notices about noxious weeds. And I'd be inclined to let the cooperative help with handling that issue rather than creating something that I don't know if we really want to get into with all the zoning things and planning things that you have on your table.
Well, one thing the weed cooperative weed management area cannot do, the state doesn't authorize them to go onto property and seek out noxious weeds. And it does authorize the county to do that. So the county is granted much more power under the noxious weed law than any other organization in regards to plants that I'm aware of. But again, in order to really have that authority, you have to go through, I don't know if all the members read all the steps necessary. So the way we're doing it right now, I don't think we have the authority to actually go onto property and do something about noxious weeds. We can send them a notice, we can threaten, but until we go through everything in the noxious weed law, I don't think we can actually go on and take advantage of all the authority that law gives us. But again, that's really a question for the state's attorney also.
Any further? Yes.
John, are you done?
Yes.
Okay. A couple of more clarification questions. I did not take time to look up to see if Champaign and Urbana individually have any ordinances concerning invasive and noxious weeds.
Is that a question or is that a direction?
Well, I thought maybe John might know the answer to that, because where I'm going is somewhat very parallel to what the other John suggested in relationship to the chickens, that maybe there is reason to get some parallelisms between our rules of the road in connection with these as to what the two cities have, or can they do it and maybe we can't because they are home rule and they could get it done in a much, that's what I thought, easier way than we can because we have to go through all the steps.
Correct? I don't know if it's an easy way. I think Urbana would take care of it through their landscape. You know, you can apply for a natural landscape, which takes a lot of effort. And if you haven't done that, I think they would determine any noxious weed to be a violation. Hopefully it's already written in there to be a violation. And I have to say, I think in Champaign, any plant over 8 inches tall is still a violation.
No, it isn't. Look at my yard.
Yes, sir.
If the county doesn't have any, do townships?
Townships are not granted the same authority as the noxious weed law grants to counties.
Any more? If we could have a motion to accept and put on file then?
No, this was just discussion.
We don't put it on file?
No.
Well, good. We can forget about it then, can't we?
No, we can forget about it.
The The chair's report is I have nothing to say. I believe item 7A and, no, wait a minute, item 8A, it was on the consent agenda.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Good night.
I'm sorry, John.